Hi, everybody. I'm Arun Venugopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Last Friday, Alaska's Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed almost $400 million worth of items from his state's operating budget. Medicaid, funding for rural schools, the arts, there were hits across the board. But one of the largest cuts was nearly 41% lopped off of the state's higher education operating budget, threatening the University of Alaska system and paving the way for layoffs and even campus closures. Andrew Kitchenman is state government and politics reporter for KTOO and Alaska Public Media, and he's here to tell us how this happened, what it'll mean for residents, and what could come next. Andrew, nice to have you back on the show.
Good to be here, Arun.
So, a 40% cut to Alaska's higher education budget. How is this being received?
Within the university, it's really difficult. The president of the statewide university system described the cuts as devastating and irrational. And that is really a sentiment that's being shared by a lot of people who either work with the university or plan to send their children there, or businesses who rely on university-educated students for their workforce.
Why did Governor Dunleavy do this? What is he prioritizing when it comes to the state budget?
The problem goes back about 4 years to when the price of oil dropped. Alaska is the only state in the country that doesn't have a statewide tax. Traditionally, it relied on oil revenue to pay for state government. When the price went down, it started to turn to other sources. One of those sources is the state's oil wealth fund, which is known as the Alaska Permanent Fund. And actually, up until this year, that fund was never used for state government. This year it was, but another change that's occurred is up until now, that fund was used for really one purpose, which is something called Alaska Permanent Fund Dividends. That's an annual check that every man, woman, and child in Alaska receives. They've ranged from about $800 up to more than $2,000. So it could be really a significant source of income for a family. And starting 3 years ago, the previous governor was an independent, vetoed half the money. And then the last 2 years, the legislature reduced the permanent fund dividends by more than $1,000. The new governor, Governor Dunleavy, he ran on a promise of having full permanent fund dividends. He actually promised to pay back the cuts from the past 3 years as well. So some people were hopeful of receiving something like a $7,000 permanent fund dividend check this year. The legislature, which decides that amount, didn't agree to go back and pay that amount. And they also haven't agreed up until this point to set the amount of permanent fund dividends for this year. And some people basically see that as a direct trade-off. Does the money go toward permanent fund dividends or does it go to government services? The governor, having made this promise for full permanent fund dividends, decided to go with the cuts.
So let's talk about the budget cuts for the university system in particular. How bad are they?
So we're going to see the consequences in about 2 weeks if there's no override, which really will have been decided by then. The president is basically planning a furlough notice for every employee of the university. Basically, any program could be closed. There could be closures of campuses, probably not the three main campuses in the state. The governor directed the veto toward the two largest campuses, which are in Fairbanks and Anchorage. What the university president has said is really there's no way to contain the effect of these cuts to just those two campuses.
So, Andrew, you've talked about some of the very important research that happens at some of the institutions that could be cut. A lot of this is research that would benefit America and the world in general. We're talking about climate change research among other areas, correct?
Yeah, and climate change issues are always interesting in Alaska. Some of the biggest impacts potentially can be toward rural Alaska and Alaska Natives, the indigenous people of Alaska. And that can result in things like villages having to move because they are in low-lying areas that are being affected by rising sea levels. But at the same time, it's a state whose economy depends as much on resource extraction as really any state. And there's very much a recognition of that practically and politically. So it's always a very fraught issue in Alaska.
What are the areas of most concern besides higher ed at this point in the budget cuts from the governor?
Well, I think there was a really deep cut to a program called Senior Benefits, and that's a program that benefits low-income seniors. It's a cash payment program, and that would be entirely eliminated. It's a very popular program, and you can really see the direct consequence in people's lives from that. The cut to Medicaid is very significant. The state has laid out how some of that cut would occur, but it's ambitious. And actually, some of the cut, we don't know the plan for how it will occur. They're working with the Trump administration on that. They want Alaska to essentially be ahead of the other states in implementing some of the changes that the Trump administration wants to do. But it's not entirely clear what those changes will be, how quickly they can be implemented, whether they'll be upheld by the courts. So that will be interesting to watch.
And we should mention that funding for Alaska public media, including your own employers, was also slashed, correct?
Yeah, Alaska has a unique system of public radio. There's about 25 stations across the state, some serving communities where they're the primary news source. The amount that each station depends on state funding varies, and certainly this was a complete loss of that money. About $2.7 million for public radio and public television in the state. That's completely eliminated. The impact will vary, and stations will be working to make up that.
What comes next on this budget? Are legislators responding?
Both Democrats and some moderate Republicans or Republicans who are not as close to the governor were immediately concerned or critical of these reductions. But like I said before, the ability to reach that hurdle of 45 will be difficult to override the governor's vetoes. There may be individual items, and certainly a lot of the focus will be on the university. There's a special session starting on Monday to give you a sense of how divided politics in Alaska are right now. The governor called for the special session to be in his hometown of Wasilla, which is near Anchorage. But most legislators are actually planning to convene the session in Juneau, the capital, which is a distant part of the state from Anchorage. And we could have a situation on Monday where some legislators are in Juneau and some are in Wasilla.
Does this feel like a unique moment for Alaska, or is this pretty much business as usual?
Well, this crisis has been going on for more than 4 years. The thing is even from the governor's perspective, there would be another $700-800 million in cuts that would have to occur beyond this, which is a big chunk of the budget, maybe a sixth of the budget, to actually have a balanced budget. So despite these deep cuts this year, we're still not at a balanced budget if we're going to have this full permanent fund dividend. And for this year, a full permanent fund dividend under the traditional formula would be $3,000. Again, for every man, woman, and child in the state.
Andrew Kitchiman is state government and politics reporter for KTOO and Alaska Public Media. Andrew, thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Arun.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.